Good morning. Welcome to Holden Village. Today is Tuesday, August 7th, the year 2001. In the Creekside Room this morning is Eunice Scarf. Today's session number is SCE-2001-07, and it's titled Give Sorrow Speech, Stories of Loss and Grief. Let's listen in.
This is a writing workshop for everyone who has a story. If you've lived, you have a story. If you can tell it, you can write it. Does that make you feel less anxious? You're not going to be marked or graded or critiqued or even taught. You're just given a chance to write what you want to write in a 15-minute period of writing, which is why I'm passing out paper if you didn't bring any. And hello to you in the ministry, Tate Ministry, I started. I'm supposed to wait at them, but they can't see me. So. I'm Eunice Scarf, and while I'm here, write and teach writing, and while I'm home, I write and teach writing. I myself began with fiction at a rather late age of 39, when one summer I just found myself working my way into a story that came out in fiction based on lived emotional experience, but invented character content and plot. And went back and did a creative writing master's degree at that time. Thought I'd get it out of my system and back to real life. And I haven't yet got away from the blank page or the invitation of the blank page. I teach writing workshops under my own company, Sangha seminars, and call them all the blank page, which means it's waiting. Underneath the blank page is everything that's ever happened. The next line of this piece, written by Margaret Atwood, is enter it at your peril. And usually I try to warn you that the page has its own claim on you, that the page you write today may claim you for a day or a month or a year or the rest of your life, inviting you to record your own story, to invent story, or to remember story. It's a place that belongs to us all. It's a place that's private. No one sees what's on your page unless you choose to read from it or to prepare it for someone else. I think it's a deep spiritual relationship that one develops with both the artistic aspect of writing and with the self in writing one's own story. And I won't say more about that, just invite you to consider it, that for me, writing is a spiritual practice open to everyone every day as keeping fit in body, mind, and soul. And you can be a writer without judging. I'm a writer whether I publish. If I publish, I'm not a writer if I don't publish. You're a writer if you write. And by virtue of needing or choosing to be here today, there is a claim made by the page on you that you honored, and thank you for coming. It's a leap of faith to go into story. The way I teach is a process which you can all take away and use in writing groups of your own, but it is to invite you to go into text as you might enter a forest without a path. That let the story reveal itself, let the words reveal themselves, let whatever surfaces come that day. There is no assignment. And though I've said that this week I've given an assignment for subject matter to each day, you are free to write anything you like today or the rest of the week. I rarely do that. Usually I just say, come fill the blank page, what's on your story mind today. But today we have said that we're talking of stories of loss and sorrow, give sorrow speech. Stories of grief and loss, I think is how I put it, give sorrow speech. So one invitation that I will make will be to frame that invitation of those who have gone before or those who are out of your life, not through death, but absence from some other reason. And if you choose, and only if you choose, address that. If not, I will give you another subject which you can pursue. So, and even if that subject doesn't suit you, you can write a daily journal at Holden or anything else that's on your mind. How many of you were here yesterday, please? Hands. So about half of you. Thank you. Nice to see you again. And if you weren't here, I think I'll just briefly say that I read two or three portions of either prose or poetry. You can borrow a line, and I'll usually emphasize a line that I think would be a good opening line for you. In school, this is called plagiarism. Here, It's called A Catalyst. And I ask you to write down who wrote it so that if by any chance this is published tomorrow, you can say in your footnote, I begin with a line from a poem by so-and-so, and you honor it in that way. It's a small point, but one that over and over has appeared urgent. Somebody writes something and they think, well, nobody ever will see it, and it is published. You want to know whose line you borrowed, if you choose to borrow one. I read from prose and poetry rather than giving you a subject matter, because prose and poetry, in my definition, have elevated language. That is, they pay attention to image, to rhythm, to sound, to the shape. In so worrying, they work. In so doing, they work on our body. The rhythm and sound and repetition work on the lived experience of the body. Their whole body responds. Literary text always works that way. So that's one of the ways of stirring memory. Memory is stored in the body, in smell, in sound, in vision, in shape. Hence, we will hear from two or three poems or poets. Now, any questions before we begin? I consider... Yes, here?
Oh, I just wondered what the title of your fiction book is.
The novel I wrote, which is a collection of short stories, is Sorrow Sings Sorrow. And I delayed letting that out to the world for a long time because of a death in my life. And it is in press, in process. I can give you a list of where stories are published in literary magazines, but the whole thing isn't out at this time.
Thank you.
There are two essays in the bookstore. Those are essays, not fiction. Largely I write fiction. One under Marry Your Muse, Making a Commitment to Creativity, and one under Wrestling with the Angels, which is a collection of women's essays. And the latter one is written called No Time to Die, which is about mourning. And I'll give you the other references.
What was the name of the book again? Sorrow?
The one I wrote, which is not out, is Sorrow Sings Sorrow. And that's a quote from Aristophanes. I meant to say this yesterday because somebody asked. The things I've published, you should really know who's... You should have a chance to decide whether who's teaching you knows what she's talking about. Things I've published are in the, under my website, Solder Seminars. And it's just a list of where the things are. They're hard. Short story writers are hard to track down. They're in anthologies and literary magazines, so maybe that's the best place to go. Okay, any other questions? I want to say one last thing about story. Of all the things that story can do, and we could spend a whole session, why story? Why? What does it do for us? Why do we seek it? Why do we study it? When do we tell it? Why do we tell it? Of all the different things we could say, and think where we'd be if we didn't have a text that's filled with story. Let's say, where would our religious tradition be without a text full of story? We would be here. Of all the things story can do, I want to consider one, and that is by telling each other, by telling our own story to ourselves, we make wholeness, we bring the fragments of my lived experience together. And it can be revised year in and year out. Re-entered, revised, reshaped, remembered. In telling yourself, there is an integration, there is wholeness. In telling each other, in my mind, it's a certain and absolute foolproof way to make community. Such that there are times I think I wouldn't sit down in committee with anybody unless we had a round of writing and read. And when you write and then read, everybody gets equal time. You noticed that yesterday? We all wrote for 15 minutes. And those who read had 15 minutes worth of writing. Have you ever been in a group where someone dominates? One of you?
Never.
When you tell a story by writing first, let's say today I wanted to say, write your first visit to Holden. And that was the subject today. Nobody could take up more space than another if first you write the story and then read it. Do you follow me? That is a brilliant discovery I've made. How do you see that everybody gets equal time? So if you're ever doing group work, community work. I watched this process because we used it a lot as a way of introducing ourselves. Common denominator of why are we here? Who are we? You know, ask for a first memory or whatever. And some people write a little faster than others, but nobody writes fast enough to dominate. So if you've got any setting in which you can use this, take it away. Use it elsewhere. Of course, if you write, you also have a permanent record. That's enough. I'd like to take a deep breath. If you put both feet on your floor for a minute, and just relax your shoulders, and we're going to enter into what I consider sacred space, that is, we begin a ritual in which we will write, listen, and then write, and then heal our own words. Three parts. So if you just breathe deeply into your belly at your own pace, center yourself, ground yourself. I ask you to put both feet on the floor for grounding. And I roll your shoulders, the muscles that push the pen out there in the shoulder. And the author is Susan Daly, spelled just like every day. So now, if you borrow a line from Susan, you will be able to say, borrowed line from Susan. And this is how it goes. And I'm starting at kind of the life end of memory and loss, and this is one story of how the granddaughter was informed about the distribution of the possessions. How many of you have been responsible for distribution of possessions? Along with this, I might ask you one question. Is what do you have in your possession that belongs to someone who's gone before? What do you have in your possession that belongs to someone who's gone before? And I would talk about that object. You can spend the whole time today doing that. I have divided him up. My grandmother speaks into the phone at 1 a.m. He is everywhere now. He's all over the world. She has been moving around the house for days, classifying the many parts of you, Grandpa, sorting and making lists, making sense. She tells me rapidly where you are, that is, who has you. She talks extensively, down to the very last item that you care for. And I hear, Grandpa, that you are spread out all over this world. Your eyeglasses are on the faces of 6 people in a third world nation. Your t-shirts now slouch across the chests of 35 men in homeless centers in large northern cities. Your braces for arthritis steady the wrists of 9 patients too sick to leave their own homes. Your gardening pants and woolly socks are browsed over and examined by bent ladies and young men in a rural Salvation Army store. The hundreds of babies you brought into this world by your strong, steady hands, they are grown and working in the gas station down the street. Your dress shirts are being ironed for 20 men at the Veterans Hospital, getting ready for a big night on the town. Your robes and pajamas and velvet slippers pad the nighttime wanderings of men in Kentucky nursing homes. Your suits are on my father as he goes to his first job after being unemployed for 5 impossible months. Your wedding ring of 59 years lies in my cousin's bureau drawer, awaiting the hand of his first bride. Your one pair of good leather shoes twitch on the feet of my brother as he leans in to kiss his first girlfriend under the glow of the porch light. Hear his story being told, what he had, where it's gone, and a new beginning, the brother and the first kiss on the porch, a cyclical story, 59 years of one wedding, first kiss for the grandson. You might choose a line here. I have divided him up, or we divided it up, or we, who's we, divided up the house. If you have a story of distribution of possessions given in love, or perhaps conflict, I'm told there's nothing so ripe for conflict as the moment of... Nobody nods. Nobody seen any conflict? Distribution of possessions. There's a story there. Now, one way you could start this one is, as I say, what is in my home that belongs to those who've gone before? And if you speak the story of each object, you'll have story this morning. Mm-hmm. Who are those people? All right, that's the first one here. Any questions? If you want to start right away, do so. The second one is simply to ask you to make a list of those who are no longer in your life. And I include, if you like, those who have died or those who have left your life, with whom you are no longer present in relationship. So let's take just a minute to stir your memory. Who are those whose story you inherit? And this has much to do with story. Whose story do you inherit? Whose story do you carry on? I walked past the labyrinth this morning and someone told me that a woman went and prayed for her dead husband out there. And he said, and what did you pray for? And she said that his memory will not be forgotten. So I'm asking you to make the list, 3, 4, 5 names of those whose story you know, and attendant on that is your responsibility or your privilege of holding that memory. So 5 names. Number 2 suggestion today is to write 5 names out of which you'll choose one person's story to tell, or your relationship with them. And write today as if I knew nothing about this person, which I don't. Whatever you wish to tell. Okay, so that has to do with the person's story. Now the third one, you ready? Don't say I'm overwhelming you, because I told you what you could do about it. right out the door. This is a very brief one by Lucille Clifton. Anyone know her? Lucille Clifton, a major American poet teaching in Maryland, tip of Maryland. Lucille Clifton, C-L-I-F-T-O-N. One of her books of poetry is in the bookstore. This is very brief. It's called She Lived. After he died, what really happened is she watched the days bundle into thousands, watched every act become the history of others, every bed become more narrow. But even as the eyes strained towards her, she walked away from the hole in the ground, deciding to live, and she lived. After he died, I'll read it again, what really happened is she watched the days bundle into thousands, watched every act become the history of others' actions, every bed become more narrow. But even as the eyes strained towards her, she walked away from the hole in the ground, deciding to live, and she lived. Borrow any piece of that, the after he died, it really happened to me is I watched. You can change any word you want. Lucille Clifton, a piece called She Lived. And then I'd like to take one from, what's his name? Aggie, James Aggie, A-G-E-E. Did any of you come to this in school? A Death in the Family, the memoir of the father's death. It's a beautiful memoir. It opens with a rather lyrical voice describing the family on a summer night, and it invites you to write a blessing. So if you just listen to a few lines. This is from A Death in the Family, James Aggie, A-G-E-E. On the rough, wet grass of the backyard, my father and mother have spread quilts. We all lie there, my mother, my father, my uncle, my aunt, and I too am lying there, First we were sitting up, then one of us lay down. They are not talking much, and the talk is quiet, of nothing in particular. The stars are wide and alive. They each seem like a smile of great sweetness. All my people are larger bodies than mine. I am the smallest. One of my people is an artist. He is living at home. One is a musician. She is living at home. One is my mother, who is good to me. One is my father, who is good to me. By some chance, here they all are on this earth. And who shall ever tell the sorrow of being on this earth, lying on quilts on the grass in a summer evening among the sounds of night? May God bless my people, my uncle, my aunt, my mother, my good father. Oh, remember them kindly in their time of trouble and in the hour of their taking away. This is to go back in memory. Put your people in a photograph. Put your people on the grass on a summer evening. May God bless my people. Here they are. Name who they were or are. Gather them together. Photograph, kitchen table, outside, wherever you like, and name them. May God bless my people. And if you went back 20, 25, 30 years, for some of you that's too far. For others of us, that's only half a lifetime. If you go back, say 25 years, don't tell me who's gone now. Write as if they're all there. Do you understand? And you can gather all together. May God bless them. And then you tell a story about each one of them. My brother who? It's one way of including, instead of speaking to one person, including the whole tribe. This is a one. I will stop now. I'm sorry, I have too many. Can you come back for 5 hours? Is that okay? I want to read something from a Black African tradition. His name is Birago Diop, D-I-O-P. D-I-O-P is the last name. This is a totally different way. It's a different religious belief, different cosmos belief. And we'll end here. Borrow a line if you like, and then we'll split to red. And he begins like this. Listen more often to things than to beings. The fire's voice is heard. Hear the voice of water. Hear in the wind the bush sob. It is the ancestors' breath you are listening to in the fire and the water and the wind and the bush. Those who have died have never left. They are in the brightening shadow and in the thickening shadow. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the rustling tree. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the flowing water. They are in the still water. They are in the hut. They are in the crowd. The dead are not dead. Listen more often. The fire's voice is heard. Hear the voice of water. Hear in the wind the bush sob. It is the ancestors' breath, the breath of dead ancestors who have not left, who are not under the earth, who are not dead. Those who have died have never left. They are in the woman's breast. They are in the waiting child. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the fire dying down. They are in the moaning rock. They are in the crying grass. They are in the forest. They are in the home. The dead are not dead. Now, you have all this to do in 15 minutes. Anyone who's here comes back and works till midnight tonight unless you've gone to. Take 15 minutes to enter. What we do here is enter, and it's for you to take away and continue. Go anywhere you like. There's tables around the room. Don't watch your clock. I'll tell you when time is up. Go as fast as you can. Don't worry about being disorganized. This is for your eyes alone. There's tissue over there.
No, I don't want
I assume that where there's story, there's tears, and tears are welcome here. You're dealing with sorrow. And feel free to take the tissue if you need it. When we finish writing, we'll listen to whoever wants to read his or her piece.